This morning's lesson was going to be a light lesson, and I had it prepared for a while. It was actually on a prefix of R-E. As you'll see, I'll say a little bit about this, but it will change. As R-E interested me as far as how many times this was a prefix as words that were used in the Bible to describe something to go into it. So those words would be refresh, return, review, rebound, relax, restore, renew, reveal, rejuvenate, revive, recover, redeem, revitalize, repair, rethink, rekindle, resolve, retrieve, remember, and the list goes on. So it was interesting to me that the prefix of RE was used so much as a tool of rejuvenation or looking back. But that brought me to something else. As the first two alphabetical letters of RE are in the word rest. And that brought me into not a light subject at all, but a very important subject to all of us and our salvation, and that is rest in God. And what is rest in God? I've heard this a few sermons about this before, and I've also looked into it a little bit before myself, and it's surprising to me in the readings about what I thought this rest was and what it really is. So I'm going to do my best this morning to try to relay what was relayed to me, hopefully, surely, through the Holy Spirit. In order to rest in peace, you must dwell and rest with the Lord. The Hebrew word for rest translates a few different things. Be at peace, be still, be quiet, be calm, surrender yourself to the Lord. As we look in just this dictionary, we'll see it means again, revisit again, or back. In Genesis 2:2, we see where this is instituted by God on the seventh day. Genesis 2:2, very familiar. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. As a child, this was always meant that God was tired. He spent a lot of time, 6 days to create, and what he had created during that time. And if you go over it, it's very interesting to picture. It's a picturesque thing that we try to picture in our mind. It's very difficult to do. But God's rest was not a tiresome rest, but it was a rest of finish. It was a rest of dwelling. He was finished with creation. And so he rests in that creation to this day. We have an opportunity to rest with him in this rest. He was the first, that is the first wonderful gift that actually God shows us by example. He directly teaches us by his actions. When he was finished with creation, all was created. We can say that nothing to this day has been created by God that was not created by that day. So Al Gore didn't create the internet. That's my little joke, and that's all I have for that joke. And we'll get that somewhat. This rest, as I said, does not mean a rest from labors, although we will see that labor is tied into this in a little bit. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals the paralytic man on the Sabbath. Here the Jews challenge Christ in relation to the law of the Sabbath. And Christ responds. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, this was in John 5, starting in chapter 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." So in that, let's pull back for a little bit and let's talk about the two types of rest. We have a spiritual rest and a physical rest. And they are at times tied together. So let's look at our physical rest. We know that to rest, a good physical rest, is to have a clearer mind so you can perform better at your job, driving. It's essential to have that rest. How does it relate to spiritual rest? Well, we know that if our physical flesh is weak, then we start to perform poorly in all we do. Our physical flesh rest is vital to sustain us through the day. A weak and tiresome person is more likely to groan throughout their day and complain and not be able to focus. Your physical rest is tied to your fleshly body. In it, the spirituality is necessary also to get a good rest. We take care of ourselves. Maybe a balanced diet. Maybe it would be exercise of the mind, reading, things said with such. Consider our performance and focus in inner, both physical and spiritual. This better focus is a good pathway towards a better understanding of what the spiritual rest of God has given us when we use it as a tool, and it is for us to practice. There's a benefit for a healthy lifestyle. As I said, the critical tool for leading us to a clear mind for thought and for a strong defense against the forces of evil. I want to read John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We are in a constant and continual state of need. Our body and our minds become weary, and our spirit longs for rejuvenation. So we physically step back and rest. And during this, the earth continues to spin on its axis while we sleep. And the sun comes up and the sun will go down. And we wake up in faith knowing that God sustains it all. And what a relief, R-E, what a relief it is to trust by faith in that rest. An old Cherokee teaching, maybe you've heard this before, his grandson. He said to his grandson, "A fight is going on inside me." He said to the boy, "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." And he continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person also. The grandson thought about it a bit, and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? His grandfather said, the one you feed. I want to read from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In this passage, and in the passage of John 6:35, Jesus is teaching us to have faith, to trust in him, with submission, discipleship, obedience, humility, that we can through peace and his love freely accept the offer that we can enter into a spiritual rest. And this rest sustains all of our needs and comforts all of our worries. It has overcome sin. The sin that hammers and knocks at us every day, caresses our daily lives. It can be kind. That sin is utterly cut away from the faithful believer who trusts Christ and dwells in that rest that our holy Creator has promised and intended for us to join with him in paradise. I was going to go into in the Old Testament, of course, the very, very familiar story of rest in the land of Canaan, the Israelites. And we know how that battle and through Joshua. But I'm going to stick with our New Testament test here because this is how it applies to us today and how this rest is obtainable. And this is where we should strive to dwell. Because there are times that we find ourselves outside of this rest. And for that, I want to turn to a very hard teaching. One that I think we can go over time and time again and really study and get something out of it every time. It's in Hebrews, the fourth chapter of Hebrews. And I would like to read that whole chapter. And we're coming out of the third chapter of Hebrews where we're given the warning. We're being set up for this fourth chapter. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, Genesis 2:2, for that he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of the disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. We'll come back to that. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. In his rest. I will give you rest, Christ says. We break that down as I, Jesus, will, that is his will, not our will, and it is a promise. I will give. It is a gift. You can do nothing to earn it. You personal, this is you. And rest is peace. If we rely on our own works, and fall into a pattern, a routine, and ritual, and put our trust in a path that we feel that we forged ourselves, maybe we've created by our own willpower and knowledge, we will at some point come falling down into the face of failure. When we watch the news at night, many of us watch the news, what do we usually see in the world? What does the news give us? Usually death. And war, rising gas prices, rising prices of the gas to go to the grocery store for rising grocery prices. Very little do we take away from the news. They sprinkle in good feel-good stories for us. After the news, what do we do? Sometimes the news is in the evening. We go to lay down. We're already in a state of anxiousness. Do we then think about our house repairs or the bills or the deadlines? Or how cold it's going to be in the morning? The walk to the car? We should be at rest. If you find yourself either laying down for the night or waking in the morning and you say the word peace out loud to yourself, what's your unscripted reaction to that? And the rest that God provides, all those worries and fears can be reduced down and put into a very small place. And in that very small place, immediately taken up by Christ. Let the gift of God's rest be put in that place. Take that rest with you. Close your eyes and let it comfort you in your slumber. You can renew during that time and return. Respond in the morning, rely on it. Jesus refers to himself in Matthew 12:8 as the Lord of the Sabbath. Because as God, he not only created the Sabbath for humankind, but also came in the flesh to establish completely on his own work on our behalf the rest that God enters back in Genesis. This is the rest that we have offered to us today to dwell in. Sin tries to keep us out of this rest by restlessness of the resolve that you were baptized into, of the full and earnest belief through faith that Jesus conquered sin on our behalf in the flesh on the cross. Because of God's grace and Christ Jesus' love, his sacrificial work for us has him in rest that we can be in with him. Justified before God, apart from any works that we do. Romans 4:16-19 reads in part, "For whosoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his." Meaning not that we stop our works and our striving and our learning towards the goal, but that we delight in God's rest, and therefore the works come easy. And the peace in God's rest must drive out the things in us that are unfinished. To be in God's rest, we must give up our restlessness by clinging to the yoke Christ offers us, to ease our burdensome clingings of life, to lighten the world's weight that we've taken upon our shoulders sometimes, either through our actions, our thoughts, or maybe we give too much time to certain ponderings. He has given us the Sabbath as an ongoing and regular rest in his grace, love, and peace. He serves his body and blood as a holy meal that further assures you and I a certainty of our future with him, peace and salvation. So as the Holy Writer says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Let us stop working to save ourselves and let God do what he has graciously wants to do, and that is to save us. Give us rest through repentance and through faith. As I sat back this morning and last night and went over this lesson of rest, I thought to myself, there's so much more to this than what can be said. I mean, you could, 100-part message. This is the Bible. This is the message. But yet it was established clear back in Genesis. And goes clear on to Revelation. I think that the last time that rest is mentioned, it is in Revelation. I didn't write that down, but I believe it's, let's say 14. Maybe somebody can find that. Throughout the Bible, though, the rest is mentioned for us. The rest is offered, and we should strive to enter into it, and think upon it, and dwell upon it. Accept that intended rest that God has given you and dwell there forever until he comes again. I'm going to close there. I'm going to offer the gospel invitation because there's no time better than the present for us to give our account of trust and faith in Christ, in the way, in the living word, through him only. He's prepared a room and a mansion for us in paradise. He said so. It's waiting for you. If you have not yet, now is the perfect time to come forward. as we join him in union through baptism, as we stand and sing the invitation.